really nice to be back in Sandown again. It brings back a lot of memories, very familiarities. And I feel a nice sense of the warmth and the presence of God here this morning. I want to share a little bit more about that later. But before that, Pam's going to bring a reading. Okay.
I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. All for Christ and pressing towards the goal. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching towards those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. Do you know each one of you is special this morning? Do you feel special because you're here in God's presence, and some of us have been on the road quite a long time, and God is keeping us and has called us and is preparing us for something special in the future. Some of you may not be on the road yet, but God wants you to be on the road. So I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of pressing on. Can you all hear me, by the way?
Yes.
It might get a bit louder as it goes on. It usually does. hopefully you'll all hear what God wants to say to you. I want to ask you this morning, will you all give God the permission to speak to you? It's not me speaking to you. It's God that speaks, and his spirit, his presence is with us, and he's closer to us than breathing. And he's got something special to say to you if you've got the faith to receive it and give him the permission to speak to you. Shall we pray?
Amen.
Living God, we praise you this morning for the wonder of life. We praise you for the wonder of who we are and where you've brought us from and where you're taking us to. We thank you for your divine presence that brings power, healing and blessing. We thank you for your living word, which is a light and a lamp to our paths. And we praise you, Lord, that in this place this morning you will be glorified in your people, in your church. Lord, be glorified, we pray, and speak to us. Give us inner ears, Lord, to hear your voice this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I was just meditating a little bit this morning on what God might want to say, and I asked him, Lord, what is on your heart? And he showed me from darkness to light, and that we're all on a journey. Each one of us are on a journey, and we're all at different places on the journey, and we can't be like anyone else, because God is bringing us from darkness into the light. And the Christian walk is a series of seasons. We go through various seasons. Some of us are a lot older, some of us are a lot younger, but we're all in a different season. And in those seasons, God does different things for us in our lives. And we can look back and we can see how God has led us and how he's brought us to where we are today. But that isn't the end of it. He's taking us to the light, which is the glory, which is our hope and destination in Christ. We will go into the presence of God and receive all that he wants to give us. So I want to speak this morning. Is that making a noise? I want to share out of my experience. It isn't theology. I want to just talk and explain a few things through my experience in connection with Philippians chapter 3 and the reading that Pam read to us. The Christian journey is a process of seasons. And I want you to grasp the fact that God loves you so much. You're special. You as an individual. You, and you. And he's brought you together here to be part of his body. And I often say this, you didn't choose to be here, but he brought you here and placed you here. But the key to it is learning to live together as the family of God.
Amen.
And no one is any better than anyone else. We may have different gifts and abilities. Collectively, those gifts and abilities work together to build his church.
Amen.
And God wants us to learn to see each other how special the other person is and submit to one another in a covenant relationship even. And it's often good for a church to come to that place in a covenant relationship and covenant with one another to move on in the things of God. The Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel, AD 61. He wrote the letter to the believers in Philippi to encourage them in their faith and Christians everywhere. That includes Christians at Sandown. Paul began the church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. In fact, it was the first church planted in Europe. God chooses good works, or God chooses us for good works. You've been chosen for good works. I've been chosen for good works. God has chosen us for good works that we can do in what Christ has done through the sacrifice of him coming and dying and setting us free. Now, whether you know it or not, you have been chosen to do good works. You won't be able to do works the same as the person sat next to you, but the works that God is calling you to do, you will be able to do them. The apostle verse 3, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we've been called out of darkness. We're leaving it behind. We're not having any more confidence in the way we used to operate and the way that we used to live. And we're praising Jesus for all that he's done. Rejoice in Christ for what he's done for you. Rejoice. It's in the mind. We if we confess and believe with the mouth that Jesus is Lord, we're saved. But when we start to focus on the things of God and confess the things of God, we will start to experience it in our experience. So if we're dwelling on the negative, then we're going to walk around like a sad sack and be like a wounded bulldog, just going around like that, which doesn't make us friendly towards other people. But if we can focus on the fact that we are Christ's, or redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and that we're a special person to do a special work, we start to believe in ourselves. Paul began... So in fact, are you rejoicing in what Jesus has done? I think I want to mention at this point, if I falter, it's because I'm having trouble with double vision with my glasses. I must have had about 8 visits this time to the opticians. 2 eye tests, and this was the same 12 months ago, and they still haven't got the prism right yet. And often I'm seeing double vision and I'm struggling a little bit, but God's, by his grace, has enabled me this morning to be able to see and to see you. So are you rejoicing in what Jesus has done for you? Yes. Have no confidence in worldly things. It's an empty existence. You know, to have an encounter with Jesus Christ will sustain us for all that God wants us to do in what he's called us to do, to bring good forward good works. Only an encounter with Jesus Christ will change our lives. Only an encounter with Jesus Christ will sustain us when it gets difficult and tough. Only the presence of Jesus and the presence of his Holy Spirit who dwells within us will give us the power to cope with all the stuff that the devil will throw at us, and it comes through people often, and it comes into the family. But the only way we will be sustained is to have the presence of Christ by his Holy Spirit within us. And it's vital that we have that encounter initially that will sustain us. So have no confidence in worldly things. We're moving away from the past. We're on a journey. And I want to get that across this morning. God wants you to know that you're on a journey. You're not static. He wants us to move on. And I've had a lot to learn about that, having to come to the Isle of Wight 9 years ago. Moving on into different seasons. And through those seasons, God strips things off us at various times. Things from the past that bug us, that we don't often know that are there. because it's part of our upbringing and makeup. But God is preparing us for good works, where eventually we'll go into the paradise of God. So God wants us to focus on spiritual things. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away and all things have become new. If you've had a past like I have, or anything like I've had, you'll never want to go back. You'll never want to go back to how it was, because you know what it's like to be in the clutches of the devil and kicked around like a football, and to be wasting your days drinking and messing about doing silly things that puts you in the courts and all that kind of stuff. But to know God has got something special for you puts a spring in our step, and God does choose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He often does this. God wants us to focus on spiritual things by reading the Bible, by looking at one another and respecting one another and believing that Christ is in you. Greater is he who is in you than him who is in the world. You've got to believe by faith. We walk by faith. In Christ Jesus, all things have passed away and all things have become new. And so God values the attitude of our hearts above all else. It's the heart. Now, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's the seat of our being. The seat of our being. The heart, the person. And that is what God values more than anything else. We may have gifts and talents and all the rest of it which we were born with, but God gives gifts, but he wants us above all else to keep our hearts pure. And he values the importance of our hearts and the value of it. And we're all brought up with certain mindsets. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more, said the Apostle Paul. Paul was a very successful worldly man. He explains his pedigree. He was circumcised the eighth day and a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, we all come from different backgrounds. Some of us had a good upbringing. Some of us had a lot of opportunities that make us what we are today. But we all have mindsets from the past, how we should live, how we should do things, how we should operate and just live generally. Our relationship with God is not carnal, but spiritual. God is spirit. God's people shouldn't be thinking like they once did. So God wants us to have that mind within us that is in Christ Jesus. And on our journey from darkness to light, there's a process of healing our minds, healing our lives, bringing us into a freedom and release. And a lot of the mindsets that we were brought up with and told was how to behave and to live and to be all the rest of it by our parents and other people don't matter as much as, how can I put it, God wants to replace all that rubbish with the presence of his Holy Spirit and bring us into a new experience in him. So he's wanting to bring healing and blessing and to develop our personalities, mould us into the things of God, so that we're focusing on the things of God. Let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So we're not living how we used to. God wants to change us. And it's like a flower that starts to grow and develop. You've ever, Pam does a lot of gardening. She puts some beautiful flowers in the garden. and it's lovely to see them grow. And I often look at Christians like that. I can see them growing, coming alive, flowering. And the first thing that Jesus said, that we should bring forth fruits of righteousness. And he wants us to blossom and grow and bring forth fruits of righteousness, leaving the past behind. Are there any people in here that you're not getting on with? I want to encourage you to forgive them and go to them and forgive them. I want to encourage you to mould yourselves closer together and don't look at the past and the way that you used to deal with things, but start to do things God's way, spiritually, according to the word of God. Paul was a changed man after his conversion. Verse 7, but what I thought was gain to me, I have counted loss for Christ. This keeps putting it in my trousers, eh? Paul was permanently and radically changed on the Damascus Road, and some of us can relate to that. Only an encounter with Jesus Christ will sustain us in our walk of faith. We can only move on when Christ comes into our lives or Christ releases us to be a new person, to be that new person. There is no other way. We can only come to God through Christ. And as we come through Christ, we start to grow. We start to move on in this walk. Only an encounter with Jesus Christ will sustain us. I don't want to talk much about myself, but it took a long, long time for me to wise up to this truth. For about 7 years, I tried to be a Christian in my own strength. And it just didn't work because I was in the church, then I was in the pub, then I was backslidden, then I was back again, in and out, up and down like a fiddler's elbow. Because within myself, I had nothing within me that was sustaining me. There was an emptiness. There was something missing. What is it? And I was listening. I used to go to all the meetings and in town and listen to the big preachers that came round and preach. And it didn't work for me because I wasn't coming to the place where I was letting go. I was holding on, doing it my way, until I came to the place where I was completely broken and at the end of myself. You know, once God's put his hands on our life, he's not going to let us go. Once we have a sense of God's presence or a sense that we want to be a Christian or we want to have something better but we can't seem to do it, God won't let you go until you come to the place where you recognize that it's less of you and more of him. Amen. And we will never be successful in what God wants us to be, to bring forth fruits of righteousness, until he's in the center of our lives. God chooses foolish things of the world to shame the wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 27. Why does that happen? Why do you think God chooses the foolish things and not the clever things or the academics all the time to do his work? It brings glory to him. It brings glory to him. He reduced Gideon's army to a small number. Gideon's army was reduced to about 300 men to do battle against the Midianites. And Gideon couldn't understand why God had whittled down his army to go into battle. But the Lord told him it's because you'll have the glory, not me. God wants the glory in all that we do. And he chooses foolish things of the world to shame the wise and show them that it's him, it's all of him and not of them. He will not give us the glory. We have to humble ourselves. Jesus made no reputation for himself, but he reduced himself to nothing. So all he thought was important is nothing compared to knowing Christ Jesus. In other words, his eyes were open to the truth. He was set free. He became a new man. Paul was persecuting Christians. He was actually present at the stoning of Stephen when he was stoned to death. He was an instigator in all of that. God chooses the foolish things. I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing on. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained, that is, arrived, or am already perfected, but I press on. So he's saying I haven't arrived yet, and God hasn't perfected me. So we're all on that journey. I've got a special birthday next year, and I can't believe it's going to happen. But it doesn't get any easier as you get older. And you've never come to the place where you think you know it all or arrived. All I can do is share what God has done for me in the past and hopes that will encourage others. Paul said, I have not arrived yet, but I'm still learning and pressing on. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back, says the hymn writer. So giving up isn't an option. Giving up and saying I can't do it and I can't put up with them down at that church anymore because they're always arguing and it never goes right and it's their fault and it's not my fault. And a lot of people fall away from church because of things like that. But the thing is, we've got to realise that Christ is within us and we've got to learn to forgive one another and move on. And work together. And find out what God is calling us to do. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me. The Galileans, many Galileans were murdered every day by the Romans when they were hung on a cross. But they had to carry their own cross to the place where they would be murdered. And this is where it comes from. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, die daily to yourself and to the past. Let it go. And I'm still learning to do this. I often get to about 11 o'clock in the morning and realise that I've forgotten God. I've jumped up out of bed. I've had a wash and all the rest of it. I might have just said, thank you, Lord, for a new day. But often I just start going straight into things and I haven't given any consideration to what the Lord might want me to do that any particular day. And I'm learning to be still. Be still and listen. Let no anxiety come into your life. Be still. And just concentrate on the presence of Jesus because he wants to go with us. He wants to lead us, not just hope that you might remember he's in your life. It's working in that close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Giving him the preeminence. Let go of the past. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul had a very checkered past, as I've just explained. He helped stone Stephen, etc. Issues from the past can hinder our progress. issues from the past can hinder our progress. Pam has pointed out things to me in my life I never knew that I had. And I've endeavoured to try and address them to make me more pleasing to her, but more than that, to be the person that God wants me to be. And I've a colleague of mine, well-known evangelist, often used to say that God strips things off us at various times. We might be in a place like this and God might just speak to us and he might just tell you to go to somebody and ask them to pray for you because you've got an issue with a certain thing and it's come to the fore and God just wants you to let it go. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. But we've got to be willing to respond. Let God speak to us. Let him guide us. It makes all the difference to our personalities and who we are when we start to let him mould us. There will be tribulation along the way. Paul said, "We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." So without tribulation, we're not going to get very far according to that. There will be tribulation. To glory in tribulation means facing it with optimism and not negativism. Oh, not again. Why me? Why is it always happening to me? And then we put on the sad sack. And we just crumble and say, oh, I'm not going to church today. I'm going to go back to sleep. You know, I've had enough of it. But God wants us to see that these things that he allows to come into our life are there for a purpose. To change us from what we were to make us more like he wants us to be. Facing problems with optimism. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what this is happening to me. What is? Try and see the positive of what God is doing in our lives. And don't be negative. And I'm preaching to myself as well. Negativism. God will allow tribulation to come into our lives for a reason. It helps us grow and to know how to deal with the devil. We learn as we go on the difference between what God is allowing to happen to us and where the devil is actually attacking us. But he even allows him to do that because he can't attack us without he gets God's permission anyway. But we can deal with him through the word of God and learn to be in that place where we put the devil in his place in our lives. God will allow tribulation to come into our lives for a reason. Start looking happy. Start being optimistic. Some thoughts from my own experience. We walk by faith, not by sight. We've got to keep that focus. We have to keep that focus. God is spirit. Nobody has ever seen God at any time. And we have a relationship with a spiritual creator, and we receive from God by faith. I remember talking about myself again. I don't like doing that too often these days, but just a little group of us on a church in Coventry in a place called Willenor on an estate, council estate, is where I used to go to church in the beginning, in the early days. And our pastor was leading us into developing spiritual gifts in the church. And one of the things that came, that was put forward, was that God will only speak to faith. So if you feel you've got a word in your heart, in your mind, you have to deliver it by faith. You can't do it any other way. But By doing it by faith, you've got to believe that within you is the Holy Spirit and not the devil. Because when you speak, you've got to believe it's the Holy Spirit. And God only speaks through the Holy Spirit. And so that's just an example of learning to move into spiritual things. If God gives you something in the Bible, for instance, and it jumps out at you, we act on it by faith. We walk by faith. And if it's of God, it will happen. If it's not of God, it won't. It's the same with anything else as we grow and move in God. And God will only pay for what he orders. God will only pay for what he orders. That is, in my experience, whatever God wants to do, if it's of him, he will provide for it. He will pay for it. If it's not from God, he won't pay for it. God will only bless what he wants to do. So if it's in ourselves and we want to do this, this and this, and hope that it will happen, it may not happen unless it's God. But if we get it right and know God's mind in any situation, he will provide the means to do it. So we find out what God is ordering. God's provision is in his call. This is another one. 40 years in full-time ministry, and I've never written a letter asking for any money. I never felt that was the thing to do for me. Initially, when I was starting, I was involved with Operation Mobilisation in Coventry. They had a team in Coventry. And their emphasis was that they never asked for money. And that stuck with me. And I've noticed over the years that God somehow has provided. I don't know how he's done it, but it comes. He brings people into our lives that can help. It comes in all kinds of different ways. God's provision comes. But it's the provision is in the call. If God has called us to do something, he will provide for us. But we've got to come to the place where we're trusting him and walking in faith. Start where you are. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't take on too much in the early beginnings. Growing in the things of the Spirit. Start where you are. And when we begin to do something in faith, people will say, that was of the Lord, brother. Did you know you've got a gift? Why don't you do that a little bit more? You're getting confirmation of what God is doing in your life. So I want to encourage you to believe that God wants you to bring forth fruits of righteousness, and he's called you for good works. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Now, another issue that I've noticed in 40 years is that a lot of people are not as teachable as they should be. And I'm speaking for myself. Be teachable and accountable in all that you do. Be willing to let God speak to you. Be able to hear what people say and to weigh what it is. If it's of the Lord, you will receive it. If it's not, you will know. And that only comes by beginning to walk in the Holy Spirit. He will give us discernment of what's from him and what isn't. But be teachable. Always come to the place where someone a lot older than ourselves has been on the road a long, long time, and I will always listen to them and weigh what's being said. I will be willing to listen. Be teachable. A vision for the future. Paul said, I press forward or toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's verse 14. What does it mean to have a vision? It means having spiritual revelation which God gives for our calling and ministry to help build his church. Not our church, his church. Again, coming back, Lord, what is it you want? What's on your heart, Lord? God often gives vision and gifts for a particular job. and I've emphasised on this, whatever God calls us to do, if it's of him, we're called to do a specific job. Like for Pastor here to be called to Sandown with Kerry, they've been called of God to be here. What God will do now is bring people around them to help them do the job. And that's how it operates. God often gives vision and gifts. People have gifts that come to complement the gifts of the pastor to work together. Or the preacher. What is God's vision for your life? You need to find this out. I think the greatest thing for me in life is knowing the truth. And knowing the truth of the reality of God. And knowing the truth of being called of God to do a certain thing. I can't imagine ever going through life in blindness and not knowing those things. And that gives me a great love for people who are in that state. And I want to encourage you to surrender everything to God. He's faithful and he will never let you down. God is faithful. What's God's vision for the Lighthouse Church? God will give you goals. They will be stepping stones to fulfill your vision. Often I used to operate on a yearly basis, and each end of the year I would evaluate what I've been doing or what God has been doing through me over the last 12 months. Then I would get a sense from God of where I'm going in the next year, and I would get a sense of goals to achieve in the coming year. And that would be my focus. I would stick to those goals. I would only work with people often that was similarly gifted to what I was trying to do, that could help me to do it. I could go on and on and on and talk about that. But it is learning these simple truths that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to. The goals will be stepping stones to fulfill your vision. You can give yourself goals. Next time I go to somewhere, I won't just sit there and say nothing. I might just try and say something what God has been showing me in faith. But it's always to encourage the church. Always try to believe that if God is going to do something through us, it's to encourage his church, his body, and not put them down. So I think I just want to leave it at that now and just offer this to God because of the time. I could go on and talk about the importance of not giving up, the importance of knowing who you are, the importance to know that you're no mistake. You're not a mistake. God chooses foolish things of the world. We were chosen by him, hand-picked. Well, one translation says that you was hand-picked by God. He knew you when you was in your mother's womb. You're not a mistake. Conclusion. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid to go, or do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for every person in the building at the moment that you'll give them a special blessing today. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the faith to hear your voice and to know your voice. and to respond to it. I pray collectively, Lord, that you will bless them and strengthen them and empower them. I pray that this church will come closer together as a body and a family that will bring glory to you. Pray that they will be encouraged, Lord, by your divine presence that moves in their hearts. Will you touch everyone this morning, Lord, that needs a touch from you? Lord, will you come with healing and heal any that's needing healing? Bring peace and blessing and healing. We just bind every foul spirit that torments and opposes this church and every individual in Jesus Christ's name, and command you to go release them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Pam, can you just have you here? Both John, and stay here. Let's turn your mic off there for a minute. Just grab your mic.
Okay.
I'd just like to pray for John and Pam collectively in ministry. They both are faithful servants. And it's just good if we just offer them up in prayer. Father, I thank you for John and Pam's servanthood, for their commitment to see your kingdom here. So, Lord, I just want to pray for them. I just want to pray that you protect them, you surround them, you encourage them, you give them the strength, the courage and the wisdom for everything that they need going forward, Lord. But, Lord, I pray for a double blessing on them financially, a double blessing on them spiritually and emotionally. But, Lord, that they may be a blessing unto others. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you. What a word in season. What a word in season. It's always good. I particularly liked the stepping stones. I think sometimes we can try to get to the goal. We can get right to the end way too quickly. Something I think we've learnt here and in our own lives is the fact that, yes, we need to set those goals and we need to move on to them step by step, little by little.